Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
But the slave that's playing that banjo and kicking up his heels and think he's in heaven, that's the one we want to keep. A grumpy slave might slip up behind you any dark night with an axe.
I assume our caller, it seemed like from what she was saying on the phone, she doesn't think white supremacy is that much of a problem. She said she was happy. I assume white supremacy.
And another thing, I just want to interject this. That was very important, but she wouldn't let me get that word in. If she's already happy with the way everything is, then why bother with having these kind of conversations at all? See what I mean?
Yes, sir.
I wrote my book only for people who say that they are victims. It says right on the cover. I've run into dozens of people who say, I'm not a victim. I say, well, then the book is not for you. If racism doesn't affect you, that you don't have no problem with it or nothing like that, it's nothing in this book for you. And in fact, the only suggestion I have for you is to teach other people how you were able to pull it off. You're a black person and you've never been victimized by racism, and if you were victimized, you came up with a way of dealing with it that really worked for you. I said you should do, you know, what the code says that every person should do to find themselves in that golden position. Teach other people exactly how you did it, all the steps that you took. And I said, and you can start with me.
If being so-called homosexual is a part of that process, I think I'm going to have to pass and find
out. No, I'm going to pass on that part.
Yeah,
see what I mean? Because that's
me
a part of the racist conspiracy. I've already decided that. See, so if they come to me, well, Fuller, if you really don't want to deal with racism and be happy and get all kind of benefits, which he mentioned benefits,
yes,
and all
yes,
like
sir.
That, and go on and live your life, then, Fuller, you got to become a homosexual. And then I say no, because that's a part of their plot. It's not a part of mine. You know, no, I'm not doing that, you know. Yeah, I know about the benefits that go with that. I've seen it. But are they really benefits? You know, what does it, and I have this written in some of my notes, what does it matter to gain the whole world and have to give up your gender?
Context of white supremacy. Gus T. Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Wednesday, July 17, 2019, so I have been told. Wow. Details to get to. We heard sound clips from Neely Fuller Jr., producejustice.com. If you need a word guide, code book, both counter-racist literature. Also sound clips from some of our previous discussions of Black Mirror, some of the actual audio from some of the different episodes of Black Mirror. A concluding thought on the Netflix sensation. They had season 5 released a few weeks back, and listeners warned me about the content. I heard about it, and I was not, you know, in a frenzy to go see the new episodes. I didn't even, you know, take any time to research to watch them. I figured I would get to it at some point. I sat down to watch. Wow. We'll get to that in a moment. But first, yoga. I am, number one, teaching yoga in the park here in Seattle this coming Monday. I will have to pause. this has been, and I have bragged on the city of Seattle for a long time. 10-year anniversary of the Cows. I have been in Seattle, Washington for the duration of that decade. I have never said that the Seattle weather is a part of what makes this the best plantation in the Western Hemisphere. It is certainly not the weather. This summer, wow, this has been the worst weather that I have ever experienced in the summertime in Seattle. It has been abysmal. It is raining today. It is about 60 degrees. I don't think the sun was out today at all, or if it was, it was brief. It was like it winked and then disappeared. It rained. It generally doesn't rain a whole lot in the summertime. I know Seattle has a reputation for being a rainy city, and that is true, but that's in the winter. In the autumn, the winter, like the early part of spring. Generally in the summer, it doesn't rain a whole lot. In the summertime, it's a lot of mild, very sunny weather, like 78 degrees, upper 70s, not a lot of humidity, but just sunny, bright, beautiful days. That's kind of what I have become accustomed to in the summertime here. That has not been the case this summer. It has been cold frequently. It has been cloudy frequently. We were supposed to do yoga in the park on Monday, and it was rained out. Not that many sunny, warm days. Yesterday was nice, sunny. I took advantage and got outside, but I mean, wow, it just seems like the warm, sunny days have been few and far in between. And unfortunately, my time here in Seattle, I'm looking out my window right now, my time in the city of Seattle, summer is very short. They say that it starts on July 4. You can look online and research yourself and see that that will come up. And the leaves begin to change color in about, I would say within about the next 10 days. The leaves are going to start to change color. That's something that I noted years ago when I was here. I am stunned by it every summer that you can already start to see autumn creeping in by the end of July. And I have been here for enough Augusts where you still do get summer weather. But frequently by the time August rolls around, oh, yeah, there start to be a few of those. Daytime high will be 60 degrees or something like that. Like just, oh yeah, this is, summer is leaving. But anyway, this summer has been especially just not the best. Seattle does not have the best weather. Lots of things to brag about. Weather is not one. Yoga was rained out in the park on Monday. Hopefully it will not be rainy for consecutive Mondays. If the sun weather cooperates, we will be doing yoga in the park this Monday, 1 to 4. I will be teaching. If you are in the Seattle area or are visiting, feel free to drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. It's free. There should be yoga mats provided. Just let me know. You can show up at the park. We will be doing yoga. It is supposed to be specifically geared towards non-white people and families, so to encourage children to come out and be active and what have you for the summertime. So if you're in the Seattle area and want to come do yoga, drop me an email. I can get you the particulars and you can come practice. Looking forward. This will be the second time that I've taught at the park. Looking forward. We had quite a few black children there last time and might even be more this time. So whew, lots of fun. Speaking of yoga, looking forward to doing, executing the COWS Counter-Racist Yoga Retreat, 10-year anniversary yoga retreat in Florida at the end of the year. As I said, all of the previous retreats, the retreat that we did in Virginia and the two attempts for California, all of them have been planned with abysmal notice. This is all very recent, even thinking of doing a yoga retreat and that listeners would be interested in participating, or anyone for that matter would be interested in participating in a yoga retreat. But that is the case. We have done one and looking forward to executing another in Florida. And again, executing hopefully three for 2020. Looking at Toronto, we have B and other listeners in the Toronto area for next summer to see if that's feasible. And Hawaii was mentioned for December 2020 to get down there, do some sunshine. That is all in the future. We'll plan and see if it's possible. But for the immediate future, with about 5 months' notice, I don't think we've ever had that much notice to plan for a retreat. As I said, yoga retreats often are planned 6 months to a year in advance. And that would not have been possible with any of the other retreats because I was not a yoga instructor this time last year. So, but getting better, still learning, and hopefully applying what has been learned. So we'll have much more time to plan out to help people with scheduling and what have you. The dates that we're looking at for the Florida retreat, December 27th to January 1. December 27 is a Friday. January 1 is a Wednesday. Those are the dates that we are looking at for folks coming down to Florida. A retired firefighter has put in awesome work in looking for locations, Black-owned specifically, Black-owned locations. He's in the Miami area to see if we can find a Black-owned residence to host the event. I will say again, it is challenging, and I think a retired firefighter can confirm from his searching in the Florida area, it is challenging to find locations of this sort, because if you're talking a yoga retreat, where generally that's going to be a dozen people, sometimes it could be more than that, but I mean generally at least a dozen people, that requires quite a bit of space. You're talking a number, I mean, that could mean 12 beds easily, at least, you know, 11, 10 beds. That's a lot of bedrooms. That's a lot of bathrooms. And it just seems that there are not lots and lots of Black people who have that type of space, and then that sort of space that is available for rental purposes. Just does not seem to be the case. It seems like that is certainly one of the signs of white supremacy, white power, that more of those types of locations are going to be, unfortunately, in the hands of racist woman, racist man. Anywho, but working hard as we can to see if we can find a Black-owned option. At least there's one spot. But again, that's kind of tough. And that's also tough with the bathrooms and such, lodging and all of that. Just it is the system of white supremacy, in my experience and others, seems to make it very difficult for these sort of constructive events. Sometimes even for non-constructive events, they'll still make it difficult. I've seen a number of events, I think Black Biker Weekend and some of the events that Black people try to have at the beach and other events that are not even about trying to solve problems or end racism, and they'll still make it difficult. So to be expected. Be that as it may, we will solidify a location. I was already looking at alternatives in case it became difficult to find a spot. I'm already looking at some other spots. Some of them are outside of Miami, but still in Florida. I'm trying to pick locations that are in the central and or southern part of the state. I am sure Pensacola is just as cool as can be, but I would rather be further south where it is warmer in December so that we can get some sunshine and be feeling good moving into 2020, especially for folks like me who are coming from areas where it will not be sunny. And well, it hasn't been sunny and warm here for the summertime, and it certainly will not be sunny and warm here for the winter. So it'll be a hoot, and I'm sure we have other listeners who are in places like New York and such where it'll be nice to get down to Florida, do some yoga, feel some sunshine, maybe get in the water, constructive activity with other victims. But as I said, the dates, December 26th to January 1, I know that's during the so-called holiday season, and it was purposeful, the thinking, the logic behind selecting those dates being that a lot of us have time off at the end of the year from our respective plantations. A lot of times the office is closed down anyway for either what they call the Christmas holiday or New Year's Day and all of that. And or people are using up their end of year vacation and leave and all that stuff before the next calendar year. So that was the logic. If people have suggestions or feedback that they think that might be difficult for them to have time off during that period or for those dates, or if it's not a work obligations, if it's family obligations, I certainly know that many people have during those dates have to go to visit relatives and, you know, do the gift exchange or eat a whole lot of non-healthy food and all of that. My thinking, at least from my experience of some of that madness when I did participate and I did more than my share, generally, a lot of that stuff is on the actual day and the day after. So the 25th and the 26th, that's when a lot of it goes on. I know, you know, it does spill over even into the weekend and, you know, the following weekend, all of that, 12 days, as they say. But I figure by the 27th, a lot of that is calmed down. And by the fact that we've been talking about this for 6-7 months now. And Gus T, serious. I think there are others who are serious about Florida. I think caller in Alabama and other folks have said, oh, yeah, Florida, let's do it. So we have ample time to plan. So even if you are still participating in the madness of that season, you can just plan ahead to say, oh, OK, well, let's do all of our, you know, get togethers and eats and all that stuff. Let's get that done on the 25th. You can still go through all the gift exchanges. You can even plan in time to take the stuff back that's rubbish and do all the eating. And then by the 27th, boop, free and clear. But folks can let me know. Maybe that's not the case. As I said, I haven't participated in all that in a while, so I might not be thinking about this correctly. But you can let me know if the dates should be adjusted or if you think it would be difficult for time off. I personally, also a part of that planning was that I get the impression that many non-white people, this is a challenging time of year for a lot of reasons, for a lot of non-white people who are maybe a little less confused and who do not participate in all of this. It can be challenging because there's so much gravity to participate. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you and being questioned. And why don't you want to participate? I think some people who do participate are less confused, but they want to take advantage to see family and relatives that they maybe don't get to see as often. I understand that makes total sense. But sometimes those situations, those gatherings can be stressful, being around other victims of racism. And sometimes there's a lot of conflict that can come with the gift exchange and eating and just having victims together and all of that. I certainly have experienced that myself. So my thinking was that it would be great, A, for folks who want to avoid all of that altogether, where you have a completely different alternative. We can do some yoga. We can eat vegan meals, talk about healthy eating, talk about counter-racism for a few days, and even be thinking mindfully about things that we want to get done for 2020. And I mean, it's supposed to be an important year, as they say, to plan that out in a counter-racist manner and to do it from such a setting, hopefully with other individuals who are serious about solving this problem. With warmer weather, close to some water, what a grand time. That was my thinking for that. Or, as I said, for people who do participate, it's stressful. Maybe not as grand as it could be if we were not in a system of terrorism. You do the hangout or what have you for those for the 25th and 26th of December. And then, bang, you can come and relax and unwind. We'll do some yoga and self-massage and eat healthy foods. And it'll be great. It'll be a great way to de-stress from all of that and a great way to start the new year. That's the thinking. But if people have suggestions about traveling, the dates, suggestions for workshops, I know some of the I'd like to have at least one workshop every day. And I know some of the workshops that I want to do. We were supposed to have a workshop on the importance of self-care, exercising, eating correctly, why that's should be an integral aspect of all of our counter-racist codes. If we're, you know, eating trash and not exercising, as Gus T was guilty of this not that long ago. This time, well, not this time last year, but not that long ago. I was guilty of this myself, that, you know, that is really being negligent with regards to our counter-racist duties. And that's exactly a component of the system of white supremacy, to have us not taking care of ourselves, not budgeting the time to take care of ourselves, not putting in the time and energy to make sure that we're eating correctly, and even studying what would be best for us to eat. All of that is a component of the system of white supremacy to just, yeah, exactly. Don't think about it. Just, you know, we got those Cheetos over there for you. Aren't they delicious? Mm. That's definitely going to be one of the workshops, as well as things that hinder us from engaging in more self-care. If it's not knowing how to prepare meals, we had Nadira. She was outstanding in VA. We'll be speaking with her to see if she's down to come kick it with us in Florida. Hopefully she will be. But she did a magnificent workshop in showing how to prepare meals. She had vegan potato salad. She sent us recipes from some of the things that we had so folks can make the dishes at home. But it was outstanding. I'm hoping we can do that in Florida as well, because I'm speaking from my own experience. I know that many people who don't eat as well as they should, maybe eat out a lot, eat a lot of fast food and things of that nature, things that, you know, can be prepared quickly, processed foods, heavily processed foods. Many of us do this because we do not know how to cook. Certainly don't know how to just go and, oh, wow, I have vegetables here. How am I going to prepare these vegetables? I think many people, myself included, struggle with that or struggled with that. In the process, that's a big component as to why some folks don't want to go vegan, don't want to do, you know, vegetarian, plant-based, or just try to eat better, healthier. Time, I think, is definitely one. The system of white supremacy does a lot to steal time from us. I know that can be a component. So just addressing different things that can be obstacles. I think a lot of people have said that they don't really enjoy vegetables. I hear that from tons of people, and I think that used to be myself. And this is, you know, one where I can speak directly when we're doing some of the workshops, because I used to hate I won't say hate, but I was not someone who would go to the grocery store and just be elated about the produce section. That was not Gus T prior to being vegan. That is the case now. Like, you know, I will go and wig out about things in the produce section on a regular basis, do so on a regular basis. But that, I think, knowing how to prepare vegetables so that they taste great and are filling, so that you don't come away just feeling like, oh, I ate a few carrots and, you know, I'm still starving. I don't remember anybody, not one person, male or female, griping about being hungry at the yoga retreat in Virginia. I don't remember one person. We did surveys afterwards. I don't think anybody was being deceptive about not having enough food or, you know, Gus tried to starve us down here. I think everyone reported that the food was great, that they were satisfied. Nobody felt like they had to sneak away to go get, you know, a chicken leg or a hamburger or anything to make sure that they felt full. I don't remember that being the case. And if that was the case for anyone who was at the retreat, you can please dial in to set the record straight. But again, I think a lot of that is just how do you prepare vegetables in a health, or just food in general, but how do you prepare fruits and vegetables in a healthy, delicious way that you will enjoy and other people in your family will enjoy, so that you're nourishing your body, nourishing your ability to replace white supremacy with justice. But that's like a workshop that we'd be going over. If folks have other ideas for workshops, I was definitely thinking we should do a workshop on workplace racism in some component, because that was such a dominant theme in Virginia that I was, I guess, just not thinking that so many people would be investing so much time and energy discussing workplace racism issues. So I guess we'll make time to do that. But if folks have other ideas for things that would be great workshop topics for Florida, you can let us know, or other ideas for activities, things that we can do while we're together for that time period. If folks are agreeable that that will work out for everyone's schedule, December 27 to January 1st. That's a considerable number of days and evenings to be together with folks who are supposed to be serious about replacing white supremacy with justice. Take advantage. That was something that I tried to encourage a lot in Virginia, and I will try to do so again in Florida. But take advantage. I hear from so many people, and I've heard this for years, and from all over the world, non-white people who say that they study racism, white supremacy, but they are not around other non-white people to talk about these issues. They can't even bring up these issues with their other family members to be in an environment where there are more than 10 other black people who are discussing racism, white supremacy, and you can talk to them about Mr. Fuller's concepts or Dr. Welsing's concepts or Dr. Curry, whoever the person is, Marimba Ani Jirugu, Dr. Marimba Ani, to be able to talk to them about these ideas and what you think can be done to solve the problem. It's something to take advantage of. And in this setting, to be able to do so and relax, do some yoga, eat some healthy foods, hopefully have some fresh produce, should be grand. So if you have ideas, thoughts, would like to be included in all of the updates with information, all of the logistics, you can drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. I would prefer if folks not Facebook message me or Twitter or anything else. Email would be most efficient, and that just helps for me to keep everything central, so that when I do mail out information about the retreat, I don't have to go through, you know, to find messages that are buried over here and over there. UntilJustice@gmail.com. If you are interested, or this is something that you would like to participate in, or you want to be included in the updates and what have you, UntilJustice@gmail.com. I think once we have solidified the location, we'll have exact information, pricing, when everything will be due. I think the deposit will be due September 1st, which is a Sunday. As I said, just trying to get final information about the lodging situation. And once we kind of get an idea there, we'll be able to move forward and give everyone all the details, the exact location, which city in Florida we will be staying, and then if other folks have any input, and if folks, if I have been remiss, if we have any COWS listeners in the Florida area, I know there are a substantial number of folks down in that region. If you know of a location that could host, we'll say 15 black people for said dates, December 27 to January 1st. If you know of any locations, untiljustice@gmail.com. Make sure that I am, you know, not overlooking resources. If we have folks that listen to this very program who know of resources that, you know, might be a possibility, reach out, let me know, and we shall see. But I would definitely, if there are any, if there's a black Airbnb, black facility that can and would be willing to host the event, that would be spectacular, keeping in line with the original thinking behind all of this. But let me know, untiljustice@gmail.com, ideas for workshops, thoughts on the dates, other activities that can be included in the retreat, anything that you think would be an improvement, a boon to the event, untiljustice@gmail.com. Certainly, if you have other questions, need specifics, let me know, and we'll make sure to answer all of those. Should be details forthcoming within a week or so. With that, I'll make sure I stamp in terms of being cognizant about what you eat. One thing that I can say, it's been awesome hearing so many listeners talking about either doing yoga or getting more exercise in or being vegan or simply eating more fruits and vegetables and being more mindful about what they eat. That is spectacular. That is black self-respect. That is counter-racism. That was articulated explicitly in Virginia at the retreat, in the mud and all, that, you know, taking care of yourself, being mindful about what is on your fork, what is on your plate, that is counter-racism. That is way more effective than stomping up and down out in the street and yelling and protesting and what have you. Being mindful that a big part of the war of white terrorism is to have us eating Cheetos and nonsense and not taking care of ourselves, and then having a lot of problems that could be negated if we were doing better self-care. But in that spirit, let's see, what did I eat today? I have been back with my smoothies. I was with friends for a couple days, and they have a really, really expensive, I can't even call it a smoothie machine. It's just an extraordinary appliance. Like, it can make smoothies, and you can make ice cream in it, you can make soup in it. Just amazing. So I was motivated to have such a contraption and I had all the ingredients. So I got back to making my smoothies to get in my fruits, veggies in the morning. Got back from their residence. And then when I got back to my residence, blender's right here. So I've been back doing my smoothies. I had my smoothie to start the day with, almond milk, blueberries, acai puree. I had no ginger. I was very disappointed about that. Ginger is one of my favorite ingredients in my smoothie. Was out of ginger and was too lazy to go to the store. Carrots, half an avocado, a half an apple, a half a pear, a few grapes, peanut butter, a little bit, hemp seeds, a half an orange with the peel. I've been doing that for some time, leaving the peel on the orange. There's supposed to be way more nutrients in the orange peel than in the orange itself. You get fiber. I only do this with organic oranges and wash them before you know, do so. But keep the peel on. Let's see. Anything else? Oh, a banana. And I think that might be it. But yes, I had my smoothie. Was amazing. Loved it. And I had one date in the smoothie. Was amazing. Felt really full. Didn't eat anything for hours. And then I think just before we went live, I had veggie spring rolls and rice. The spring rolls just, I think, had edamame, cabbage, carrots, I think some other vegetables, and just rice. That's what I've eaten today. I'm sure I'll have something before I go to bed. I know I will have cherries because I always feel it is a luxury to have cherries. They have lots of cherries in Washington State. George Washington and the Lionel cherry tree. Lies of white supremacy. But I'm sure I will have cherries before I conclude my Wednesday and maybe one other snack before the day concludes. But that's what I have eaten thus far and drank water. I have not had any non-water beverages today. Make sure you're drinking water. Again, it has been absolutely inspiring to hear so many listeners who are drinking more water consciously, deliberately, getting away from those unhealthful, sugary concoctions, the sodas, the fruit drinks, all of that, the caffeinated drinks, the energy drinks, all of that nonsense, and drinking more water, eating more fruits, vegetables. And I guess my concluding point on all of this, we talk on this broadcast and counter racism, a core component in general, is about words and the power of words. Just taking that point consistently with food, those words that are on the labels, the ingredients in what we are consuming, those words are important. You hear whites in conflict about those words all the time. How large is the print for those words? Where should that information be located? What should that information include? What should it not include? We've heard some of the segments where whites are in conflict. Shouldn't even be called almond milk. Hurting the dairy industry, they say. You should call it something else. The people that talk about the expensive veggie burgers and non-beef patties that they have now and saying that that shouldn't be called beef. It should be called something else. Words are very important, so be mindful of the words that are on the products we are consuming. General rule, if it's something that you don't know what it is, that should at least prompt a pause until you are able to investigate further. I think Mr. Fuller encourages we should be curious. We should try to learn something about everything as much as we can. Man, we should definitely be curious about things that we are going to put in our mouth. Really curious. What exactly is that? What's in that? Where did it come from? Very, very curious. I mean, we talk about asking questions. Man, we should have lots of questions, lots of curiosity about things that we eat, especially maybe even things that we like to eat a lot. We should have lots of questions. Context of white supremacy. Number to dial 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Share if you think the broadcast is constructive. Moving to Black Mirror. When we get to the phone lines, if folks have questions, comments about the yoga retreat in Florida, suggestions for that, that will be great. But I did want to make sure I covered Black Mirror as well. And then we'll hit the phone lines. And if you have questions, comments, we will hear all of those as well. But transitioning to Black Mirror, reading is more important than watching television. When we did our yoga retreat in Virginia back in February, we were in a Black-owned library, and I think that added just a huge component to the energy, the vibration, if you will, of the experience, just having all of these books by Black authors and the bulk of them about racism, white supremacy in some capacity. But I am not talking about Black Mirror as encouragement that anyone watch the series. We have talked about this Netflix sensation over the years. We had Dr. Kevorkian on the broadcast back in 2016, November 2016. I posted the link in the description and linked it online today and yesterday. We talked about this series, the first three seasons, back in 2016, and then we had Dr. Kevorkian back last year to talk about season four, so you can easily go through the COWS archives and hear hours of dialogue about the white supremacy racism that is consistent in this series. I nearly played the audio segment of myself, which I don't like to do, play audio recordings of me talking, but I almost played the audio of myself saying back in 2016. This series started in 2011. It did not debut on Netflix. It did not transition to Netflix until 2016 for season 3. That's when we covered this series. I said at that time that I thought Black Mirror would be a huge success. It would catch on and become even bigger because I didn't think as many people knew about it at the time in the States. I think that certainly has been true. And I think all of the comments that Dr. Kevorkian and I had to say way back in 2016 remain applicable to this day, all the way up through season 5. The 5th season was just released in May, and I think there are only 3 episodes. I'm not totally certain. For people who have not heard our discussions on Black Mirror before, if you've not seen the series, this is a science fiction anthology, meaning none of the episodes are related. There are totally different characters in all of the episodes, all of the seasons. Every single episode is totally standalone and totally independent of all of the other episodes. It's totally random stories every time. You could see absolutely anything during any episode. And it's supposed to be themed around the idea of technology. And I think Dr. Kevorkian did describe it on this broadcast as the series takes a malignant view of humanity and how that is corrupted with these advances of technology. And the racial component, Dr. Kevorkian, author of Color Monitors, The Black Face of Technology in America, his book, many of the themes in his book that frequently in science fiction books, narratives like Black Mirror, non-white people, black people, are represented by machines, computers, robots. That's been his theory. It applies to this series as well. And he said that there's a lot of critical acclaim of this series, which I think there has been, at least through the first three, four seasons. And he said that there has not been a lot of discussion of the white supremacy racism in the series. I think that has mostly been true. Maybe a little bit more analysis in season 4 with the conclusion, because I think that was an episode that demanded some sort of racial commentary. But for the most part, I think that's true. No serious in-depth racial discussion of this series. We certainly have talked about it in depth on this program. I watched one episode from the 5th season, having watched all 4 previous seasons, and we talked about the sexualization of black characters, non-white characters in the series. We talked about themes of white people being helpless in the series, even powerful white people being helpless and at the mercy of technology representing non-white people, black people. And how that is articulated explicitly in some of the narratives of the film. I think Nosedive was one that we talked about specifically, among others. The black males, them being castrated in various forms, 15 Million Merits, where you have this black male Othello type character who goes insane for this white woman that he's never able to obtain. We have another black male from season 4 from the premiere episode where this white man is taking his coworkers, and he'll get like a DNA sample from them, and then he'll clone them and have their entity in his little private video game, virtual reality setup. And he has a black male character there who has been castrated, and his character in the game, he's upset because he's just like fetching coffee for people in real life. And then in the game, when they get liberated, so to speak, he gets his genitals back. And the first thing he wants to do is to go have sexual intercourse. Like we talked about some of those typical themes of white supremacy racism in the Black Mirror series and how it depicts black people, how the white supremacy plays out. From season 5, I watched one episode Striking Vipers. This episode features Anthony Mackie. He, for folks who don't recall, he has had a pretty lengthy, I would say, impressive film career, if such a thing is possible in a system of white supremacy, an impressive film career for a non-white person. He was in, and you'll see what I mean, he was in films such as The Hurt Locker, one film of the year. Remember that one? That was the one where he had a white man gyrating on his chin. White man's groin was right on his chin in that one. That was picture of the year. And then Anthony Mackie, he was also in the film adaptation of the new American classic, The Hate U Give. I didn't see that one, thankfully, but we did read the book in the book club. Anthony Mackie played the character of King, a no-count drug dealer. Mr. Mackie was also in the Spike Lee film, She Hate Me, another classic. So he's had a lengthy, interesting film career. He was in some of those Captain America sequences as well. I'm not into all those adaptations, but he's been in a number of those as well. As I said, impressive, you know, film career, if you can have such a thing. So he's one of the lead characters in this film. I didn't know anything about this episode before I watched it. A listener had seen, I think, all or some of the season 5 installments of Black Mirror and had warned me. Antisexual behavior. Wow. Now, I didn't get a whole lot of detail, but I did get that minor warning. That warning proved insufficient. Normally, if I was going to do an analysis of films, Black Mirror or any other, you know, film project, I'd have, you know, my film clips ready. I'd have the audio clips so that I could play a little bit. You could hear exactly what I'm talking about from the film and all of that. It was such a traumatizing experience to view this segment that I am unwilling to watch it again, even for the purposes of making audio clips. Even for the purposes of study, I'm unwilling to watch it again. I was totally stunned, and I have a witness. I watched this film. I sat down. I was sitting upright and just looking like us. I had no expectations about, you know, other than I knew it was Black Mirror, so I knew there would be some sort of technological component. By the time we got to the end of the film, I literally was slumped. We were sitting on a couch. I was slumped over. I was watching this with a black female. She, too, felt traumatized by the time that we got to the end. And I was just slumped over. And I think both of us said, wow, I feel like I've been violated. And it was true. I mean, whew. Anthony Mackie's character is the lead actor in this film. He has a black female partner, and I think Dr. Kevorkian and I had talked previously how in this series you don't see a black couple, black male, black female pairing in this film. You see white couples, white duos. You even see a black female with a white man. You see a black female with a white female. All kinds of interesting pairings, but you don't see a black female with a black male. You see that in Striking Vipers. Anthony Mackie has a black girlfriend. It shows them together. They're dating and into each other and all of that. Great. Whoopee. This film shows you Mr. Mackie together with his black female. It also at the beginning shows one of his college roommates, and they're playing video games and all of this. His college roommate or college friend is a black male as well. So they fast forward 11 years, which I'm thinking, wow, what a, you know, big time jump right at the beginning of the film. But okay. So they fast forward 11 years. And so Anthony Mackie's character, he is married with his former girlfriend, now wife, and they have a child, working on a second child. She, his wife, black females, you know, hey, let's go ahead and do it now. We're married. And they show you when they do the fast forward 11 years, It's Anthony Mackie, his character's birthday, and I think he's turning 39, 38, one of the late 30s, and so he's kind of at that midlife, oh no, I'm not young anymore, and I'm, you know, gonna, I think that's the joke that he makes. Somebody says, oh man, you're getting old, turning 39, and he says, yep, next thing is death. Gives some sort of gallows humor about all this. So midlife, and you know, I'm disappointed, and you know, what is life all about? I didn't accomplish what I want, not satisfied type of thing. So they're trying for a second child. His college buddy, black male, comes to the birthday party and gives him a birthday present. It's this video game, Striking Vipers, that they used to play when they were younger, their college days. Oh, wow, this is great. We can play online together. So all of this is in the right very beginning of the film. So after the birthday party, Mr. Mackey's character, his wife says, you know, hey, let's try, see if we can get that second baby. And he's like, I don't know, I'm not really feeling into it. I'm a little sick, I'm a little tired. I'm just going to go and watch a little TV, see if I can get drowsy to fall asleep. So he leaves his wife in the bed, beautiful young lady. Leaves her there, and he goes to play video games. Now, immediately, I turn person I'm watching this with, and I say, wow, that just strikes me as really, like, strikes me as really homosexual. Like, I have my wife, not just some random female, my wife here, who, and we're trying for a second child. This is not just wasteful sexual activity. Like, we're actually trying to make another life here, and we're married. That's what you're supposed to do. Have a family. That's what all this is about. Have a family and raise some children while we're young enough to do it, and they're well off. It's not like they're struggling or anything. Yeah, let's go ahead and have these children while we're young enough to do it, and we can, you know, do our family thing. Yeah, I'm gonna go play video games. I'm immediately thinking, this is really gay. And I said it out loud to the person that I was with and explained. So we continue to watch. He puts the video, Striking Vipers, name of the game, not a coincidence. He puts this game in, he hops on, and then he sees that his black male friend is also online. And so they go to play this game, they pick their characters. They select an Asian male and a white woman to be their avatars, represent themselves in this fighting game. They're going to fight each other. Asian male, white woman, and a white woman who is dressed provocatively. You know how they do it in the video games. So they'll be scantily clad and have their bosom exposed and have on a really short mini skirt type deal. So very sexually dressed white woman and Asian male, same thing. He'll have no shirt on, that sort of thing. So you can see all his muscles ripping. But these are the characters that they select to represent them in the game, and then they go and fight each other. And then the fight, they fight for a few minutes, really violent, aggressive, all the Matrix type scene that you can imagine in some sort of fighting movie. And then I think within 5 minutes, they're in some sort of passionate sexual encounter. Now, as I said, I didn't research. I didn't, you know, read about this episode in advance to see what it was going to entail. The listener didn't give me details or even which episode from this season that she saw. I'm just thinking, oh, wow. Wow. Okay. So they do this, and then it gets awkward. They break from the game. It gets, you know, explained away as, oh, it was late and drunk and, you know, whatever. But of course, they run back and this becomes the new habit. They go get on this game and engage in sexual activity. And so they show several scenes of the wife alone in bed. She's wanting to have another child. He is on this game, engaged in sexual intercourse with his black male friend, as they are representing themselves as an Asian male and a white woman. The black male friend also has a girlfriend, a black female. They also show her where she's alone. They even will show scenes Black Mirror. This is on Netflix. They have a number of scenes of that are sexually explicit. I would say that is even interesting in and of itself, because Dr. Kevorkian, when he's been on the program, he has talked about that, how when you see sexually explicit behavior in this film, especially when it's black characters and how they are represented when this happens. But in this scene, they show several times where it's a black male, black female, they're engaged in sexual activity, and then the black one's, I don't know, I'm stressed, or I'm just not into it. So this just goes on for a while, and they're, you know, doing their thing in the video game world and having explicit dialogue about sometimes about how what an interesting experience this is. And the black male friend, he's more experienced than Anthony Mackie's character. He, you know, begins to talk about how he's tried this with other people and it's just not the same, or how it's so much it's such a different experience when you do this as a female and getting to experience sexual intercourse as a female as opposed to a male. Whew. And they're having these dialogues sometime, the dialogue that I just explained, him talking about what it's like to have sexual intercourse or to feel it as a female. They're having this conversation in the game. So he's having this conversation when he is a white woman. And Anthony Mackie's character is this Asian male. And so this continues. The wife gets this, Anthony Mackie's wife, you know, she's suspicious and thinking that, you know, he's cheating on her, maybe with another woman, that he's cheating on her, or at minimum, doesn't think she's attractive anymore. Maybe he thinks that she's old and over the weight. Remember I said that's kind of a theme at the beginning of it. And, you know, he's like, no, that's not the case at all. And, you know, he doesn't want to explain all of this to her. Finally, they get to the end. And Anthony Mackie's character, he meets his black male friend. And, you know, it's like, I'm not gay. And they talk about all this. And finally, he says, you know, let's meet in real life. Let's get off of the game. Let's meet in real life and we'll kiss and we'll see, you know, if there's an attraction. If there is, then we'll just move forward from there. So they go, they do the real life kiss. And I think at this point I'm thinking, wow, Anthony Mackie needs like a better agent, because this is not like, wow, engaging, incredible television viewing, like to have a black male who's married to a black female that he is not with at all. Like for the bulk of the film, it's just him leaving her alone in bed, leaving her alone here, leaving her alone there to go run and play video games with another black male where they can pretend to be a white woman and an Asian male having sex together. I mean, get a better agent. If this is your alternative to being a drug pusher in The Hate U Give, or having a white man put his crotch on your chin in the Hurt Locker, get another agent and or get out of Hollywood. I would even pause. This episode of Black Mirror is filled with black people. Most of the main characters, or all of the main characters in this film, are black people, with the exception of when they're in the video game and they select these this Asian male avatar and this white female avatar. Other than that, all of the main actors in this are black people. That is not the way this series started. And I said, Dr. Kevorkian commented, you can see the change from season three. They began to incorporate many, many more non-white actors in the series after this series shifted to Netflix, maybe to get more American viewers in. I don't know, but it's very noticeable. This episode is striking. But I've said for years, anytime it's a whole lot of black people in an episode, I do not want to see it. This is invariably what I see. It ends up being rife with anti-blackness and just something that is difficult to stomach on many levels. So as I said, this film, it moves along as it gets closer to the conclusion. Anthony Mackie and his black male friend, they meet in an alley. Let's kiss for real, not in the game, and see, you know, What is it? What's the deal? Are we really attracted to each other? So they meet, they kiss. He says, no, not into it. So he goes to leave. They end up having this big fight. Same thing. Sex, violence just keeps oscillating back and forth. So they have this big brawl. Enforcement officials are called. They haul off these black males to jail. His abandoned wife has to come in and bail him out of jail for fighting with his black male lover. So they finally get through all of this and they get to the conclusion of the film. His wife, you know, finds out what he's been doing. So they get to the end and they have worked out some sort of arrangement where his wife, she goes out, she takes her wedding ring off, she goes out and she gets to pretend that she is not married and she can go to a singles bar and flirt and do whatever she wants. And Anthony Mackie, he can go on the game and have sex with his black male lover. And that's, this is the resolution to this episode. All of this is happening in clips as the credits go up. And they've done this before. They have episodes where, as the credits are going up, you're finally getting the conclusion how this is going to end. And they do the same thing here. One kind of, almost want to say, side note comment that was made as this episode was concluding right before they do that montage and showing you how it's all going to be resolved. One of the friends of Anthony Mackie and his wife, one of their friends, they're outside their house. It's a gathering of some sort, another like the birthday party situation. They're outside and the friends are talking about how cute Anthony Mackie's children are. And, oh, they have such pretty babies, and that's great. And I'm so glad we didn't get to have pretty babies. And his wife kind of looks at him. He says, yeah, our kids look like a mile of bad road. Many, many things were appalling about this episode in my regard. Many things are appalling about a number of black mirror episodes. They had a white man anally rape a pig in the pilot episodes. I mean, But that line, hearing a black man, I just personally, I don't know parents who would be talking about their children and saying our children look like a mile of bad road. And he's talking about young children. He's not like he's talking about, you know, his 20-year-old, his 15-year-old, you know, he's talking about children, their children that are under 10. To have a black male father talking about his children in that manner, I just thought, wow, that is such an indictment of black males, black fathers, black people in general, but particularly black males. And I've seen that theme in this series throughout. We've talked about it before. In various ways that black males are castrated in this series. We talked about it season 3 with Kananga. They call him Stripe in that one, where they've totally erased his memory and he's a soldier. He just goes out and kills roaches, and then they give him some sort of sexual fantasy with a black female who's super sexualized when he does well. And then when he figures it out, they say, hey, well, you agreed to all of this. You know, you were the dumb one. And they show him the tape of him agreeing to all of this. And then he gets mad because he can't remember. And they just give him another program and wipe his brain. And he just continues doing the same thing. Like, there are lots of different representations of neutered black males throughout the series of Black Mirror. I just told you the one about season 4, they got the black male with no genitals who serves coffee in season 4. They got the black male Bing from the first season. He spends literally every ounce of his time and energy for this white woman who he is not allowed to have. He just ends up by himself, I think, drinking orange juice, OJ, as the series concludes. But it's lots of examples of neutered black males throughout the series. And I thought this one was especially devastating. I was reminded, and I think even a listener
when they heard that I had said something about the new installment of Black Mirror, and they said, was it Striking Vipers? They said that they watched that episode and thought of Mr. Fuller immediately, and how he's talked for so long about how he thought it would be increasingly promoting this sort of behavior to Black people and promoting contempt for gender, sexual confusion, all of that in this episode, even with the avatars. I thought even them selecting an Asian male, and that's even a trope in Hollywood. There are books and articles by the dozens, by the hundreds, I believe, about the trope of Asian males in cinema and how they never get the woman. Jackie Chan has talked about that, never getting the woman. In the Big Family, he's a huge star, has made millions and millions of dollars, and they don't get the woman. And in this one, it is a Black male who is being represented by this Asian male who does get the woman, but this white woman is only a representation of a Black male. It's not, I mean, I thought it was purposeful on many levels, even in that arrangement, it seemed that the white woman, the way that they were talking, because it was the friend who got the game, it was the friend who invited to come and engage in this experience. It was as though the white woman was more knowledgeable, was more in control about this dynamic, about this scenario, even when it was a white woman, Asian male, that are just representations of two Black males. The racial dynamic was still there, but in promoting all of this, the sexual confusion, contempt for gender, I thought just, I could see how if you are more confused about racism, white supremacy, you would just think it's entertainment. There's nothing to it. In my view, I can see how this has a huge impact on normalizing this conduct, normalizing this behavior, I think consistently normalizing this behavior for Black people. And I think that was why I played the audio segment at the beginning. When you can get people confused about their gender, it's very easy to have them confused about everything. And I did not see it at first, but I totally grasp when you have people totally confused about their genitals, their gender. It makes it nearly impossible to correctly address the problem of white supremacy racism. You're not even sure if you're a male and a female. How are we going to aspire to be universal man, universal woman, replace white supremacy with justice? I did not understand the logic, of that at first. I grasp it now. And I think there is something to be said, in my view. This sounds like that fungibility that Dr. Curry talked about, how if you are a Black male, the man not, you're not a man. You're not doing manly things. You're not being a father. I don't think they show this Black male going to interact with his child. In fact, his child comes and interrupts. Anthony Mackie's Black son comes and kicks him in the leg while he's on this video game with his Black lover. You don't do manly things. You're not a husband. You leave your wife in the bed while she wants to get pregnant. You leave her to go play video games. You're not even a man. You're a juvenile. And the fungibility, you're not a man. We can change you and represent you however we want. Represent you as an Asian man. Represent you as a white woman. Represent you as anything other than a man. That is not what you're going to be shown as at all. Even the comment by the Black male at the end, the comment that I thought was one of the most striking, where he says, our children look like a mile of bad road. That's not a father. That's not going to be someone whose image. That's not what you think of. You think, oh yeah, dad. And the proto, what a dad is supposed to be and how a dad is supposed to function, not sitting outside talking about how ugly our children are. The man not represented in every way, in every manner in that episode, in my conclusion. And the worthlessness of Black females, I felt that was on display in so many different aspects. They had the scene where Anthony Mackie's character is doing his homosexual activity, anti-sexual activity with his male Black male lover on the game. And his wife, Nobody wants me. My husband doesn't even want me. He doesn't think I'm attractive, desirable. I'm totally abandoned to, again, have that image out. Nobody wants you, black woman. Ugh, nobody wants you. Nobody finds you attractive. She's sitting there all alone at the bar, and then she comes and has this conversation with him. Do you not find me attractive anymore? Are you not interested? Are you seeing someone? I mean, just that's the representation. I think that's the only time that you see the representation of black romance, a black male, black female couple together in Black Mirror is for this. That's why I've said I would much rather have, if I'm going to watch television at all, reading is more important than watching television. If I'm going to watch television at all, I would rather not see a whole lot of black characters, because the white supremacy, racism, they're not going to be cast in roles that exemplify black self-respect. They're not going to be cast in roles where I watch this and feel good about being a black person. I feel inspired about what we can do and motivated to go out and solve the problem of white supremacy, racism. That is not Striking Vipers, Black Mirror. That's not it at all. And that's what I expect if a whole lot of black people have been cast for a part. I expect Precious. I expect Empire. No apologies to anybody who is a fan of those abominations. Anywho, I did not watch any of the other episodes of season 5. This, as I said, I do not want to encourage people to watch the series, although I am sure, as I stated, Black Mirror has been popular for a long time, so I'm sure some listeners have already seen it and or might just be curious and want to watch. I was absolutely devastated. As I said, the black female I watched it with was absolutely devastated. I'm unwilling to watch to review. I was unwilling to make any sound clips to watch again to see if I missed something or if I could pick up some extra lines. It was such a crushing experience to watch. I would appreciate hearing from Anthony Mackie, like an honest dialogue, because he's such a accomplished actor. You know, he's someone, he's got like 4 or 5 projects that are coming out. So it's not like it would seem. It's not like he's someone that just has to take any script that his agent brings to him. That would seem to be the case, but maybe that's not. Maybe that's a part of the deal. Hey, Mr. Mackie, you've had a big time career. Haven't you been on a lot of big pictures? Hurt Locker won Picture of the Year. I'm sure that, you know, got you a few extra nickels. Everybody likes a bigger paycheck, right? Well, you want to keep doing, you know, what is it, the Captain America and all those. You want to keep doing those movies, big budget projects, and we got you in there. We could replace you. We got other people. Michael B. Jordan could be doing your spot. You want to do that? Well, Black Mirror's got this episode, and you're going to have to be a homosexual lover, leaving your beautiful black wife to engage in sexual intercourse with a black male, and unfortunately, you'll be in a video game, so you'll be represented by an Asian male, and you'll be engaging in sexual intercourse with a white woman. But, yeah, that'll be part of, you know, your deal if you do this, and make it convincing. If you do a good job at this one, we'll keep you on with the Avengers. And, in fact, we'll double your salary. Oh, you don't want to do it? Oh, well, maybe we make that call to Michael B. Jordan. Maybe your film resume doesn't look so impressive. Maybe you don't continue to get all those big budget roles. O.J. Simpson got a whole lot of roles at one time. Remember that? Now what has he got? Make a decision. I could easily see how that could be the case for Anthony Mackie, Gus T, or anybody else, where they could be pressured, manipulated into participating in a role like this, in an episode like this. They just had, I had it for workplace racism. They just had an article that was published in the LA Times this month, where they were talking about how difficult it is for black people who are in entertainment, trying to either get roles or trying to make films, their own projects, how difficult it is. Even in 2020, that was the point they were making. Even at this point, with Jordan Peele and Ava DuVernay and all of these black people that have seemingly made all of these movies and big films, and people acting like they miss John Singleton so much, and Spike Lee just got his big award, even after all of that, that it is hugely difficult, extraordinarily challenging for black people, especially not to just get one project, to have a sustained career where you're doing work, it's appreciated and that sort of thing. You have some control, some agency over your career. Hordes of them, black males and females, were saying that it is extraordinarily challenging because of racism. So, no, it would not stun me if Anthony Mackie was not presented with, you know, a deal you cannot refuse. Know how that works in the system of white supremacy. Again, reading is more important than watching television. I'm not, if you have not seen Black Mirror on Netflix, I am not encouraging a binge session. You don't need to watch it. We've talked about it before. If you have seen it, you can feel free to go back and listen to the archives to some of the more in-depth analysis. I was not intending this to be something where people felt like they had to go watch Striking Vipers or any other content on television. If folks have seen the episode and have any thoughts they would like to share, if you feel the analysis that I offer has been in error, maybe I misinterpreted what happened in that particular segment, certainly you can let me know. The number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I certainly know I was left with the thought, the term projection, quite a bit. The Netflix series is written by Charlie Brooker, who is a white man in the UK. I said this is a British series that originated as a British series, TV series. This narrative for this episode, Striking Vipers, middle-aged white men unsatisfied with their life and or unfulfilled with their wife and having homoerotic fantasies that are fulfilled in some sort of virtual reality, that very much seems in line with my understanding of white men, especially when I look out at all of the sexual impropriety, the Jeffrey Epstein and the Jerry Sanduskys that had seemed to be more and more regular, the occurrences, the Catholic Church, that very much that sexual deviance and I'm unfulfilled and going out and seeking my sexual gratification elsewhere. And it's even talked about within the game segment. They have the character who said, I was going out and doing this with all these different types of characters and engaging in all this activity, and it just isn't the same. I totally can see that. That's not saying that there are no non-white people engaged in those activities. Not at all. But I mean, Dr. Welsing talked about this. White people are the ones who have a history of what they call swinging and going out and doing wife swapping. There is a history of that. That's not saying that every white person is engaged in that, but that is not black people who have a history of what they call swinging and having some sort of open marriage situation where I can take my ring off and go out and sleep with who I want, get me another male, and you can take your ring off, the husband, you can take your ring off and go have sex with your best male friend. That what black history is that? I don't remember that in February. I said that immediately as soon as I watched this. This very much seems like white people taking their existence, their pathologies, and projecting them onto black people. I could be in error. Boskin, again, you can let me know if maybe I'm seeing something incorrectly. The number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you have thoughts on what happened with Black Mirror Striking Vipers, or if we have folks who have thoughts, suggestions, ideas for the Florida Yoga Retreat, you can share those as well. Again, make sure I emphasize I am not encouraging folks to watch Black Mirror or anything else. Maybe I should have continued with what I was doing, because this episode the new season had been available, I think, for 2 months now, and I hadn't even thought of watching it. I had made no effort to watch it, to find it, to see what any episodes were about at all. Perhaps if I had continued on that track, things would have been great. I deviated, watched, and paid the price, and then was absolutely devastated. In fact, I can tell you, I had to get up and go take a walk. I'm so glad, my friend, I watched it with her. She just got a brand new television, super huge, to take up the entire wall and high definition and all of that, you know, 21st century gadgetry. I am so thankful that we watched that installment before she got her newfangled television, because the image would have been substantially larger and sharper, and, you know, more clarity with all of the depictions and what have you. So I'm immensely grateful that we were able to watch it on a smaller monitor, because I think the victimization would have been substantially worse. And I told her this of late when I saw their new television, and she agreed wholeheartedly. But it was such a just traumatizing event watching all of that. I remember having to get up and just go take a walk. I was thankful that was the day that the sun was out. I went and I took a stroll just to get some sun on my body. I don't think we watched any other TV at all. Like, that was the one viewing episode. The television went off for the day, and that was that. Like, I don't want to see any more Black Mirror episodes. I don't want to hear about Black Mirror, what they're showing. I don't know if the rest of the season had similar content. As I said, the listener who shared information with me, warned me, if you will, about this episode. She had just said, oh my goodness, the homosexual activity, my gosh. I don't know if it's rife in all three. It could be. I am not going to watch to find out. They have a saying I love for many reasons. Do you have to eat the whole cow to figure out that it's steak? In this case, I am good. I have invested enough time in Black Mirror. We have done, now counting this one, 3 different programs talking about Black Mirror. So if Black Mirror is your series, you love Charlie Brooker, if you think, wow, I would love to hear counter racist analysis, we already got you covered for the first 4 seasons, and now 1 episode of season 5. You can go back. Dr. Martin Kevorkian, quite a few other Cows listeners are fans of Black Mirror, so you can hear some of their thoughts on the first few seasons episodes. But Gus T is checking out No More Black Mirror. Striking Vipers made me tap out. And anyone who has seen it, if you have Black self-respect and an understanding of racism, white supremacy, would be saying the same thing. I totally understand why you would no longer be watching such content. Let's see. I'll check with some of the folks who dialed in and see if they have either comments on Black Mirror, suggestions for the counter-racist yoga retreat. Should be something related to those, too. Don't think we've talked about anything else, so it should be related there. Let's see, the Black African who was with us in Virginia. If you have comments, questions, your line should be open, sir.
Thank you, Gus. I guess I would, my suggestion for the yoga retreat would be maybe if attendees bring a recipe or maybe even cook something there. Because I guess when you start eating vegan food, you sort of look out for stuff. Like the other day, I baked like a rice dish. I never thought that I would bake rice, but it turned out really nice. Had mushrooms, and like the mushrooms sort of came out sort of, they weren't like moist, but they were like, they had a good texture, and some green onions on top of it. So I think that was a dish that people would probably enjoy. So yeah, bring the recipe. I guess for this episode, I was, I guess pre the episode, I had seen sort of images of Anthony Mackie. So I was excited to see the episode. I did not get a warning. So I had seen posters, sort of like images of the Asian male and the white female sort of scenario, but I thought it was a different episode. I didn't put that together. And And I feel like I got, I don't know, I feel like when I was watching the episode in the middle, I felt like I had been, I don't want to say had, but it was like I had been sensationally tricked. Like, because like the way the show, I mean, and then I start to think of it because there's like a scene, I think, where Anthony Mackie's character and the other black male, they're sort of on the sofa before, I guess, they move like to the future or whatever, or to the present in the movie, where like the black female comes in, he's lust of black, I think they've had sex, and then he goes into the living room and they play video games, and I guess the black female comes in, interrupts them, and while she's leaving, the other black male sort of like humps him or something, and in like some kind of playful way. And I remember seeing that scene, like, but I didn't grasp what was coming. I can say like the only word that I could describe about the whole show was that it was disgusting. I felt really bad, like in the middle, like I felt. I didn't want to, I think I paused it many, I didn't want to finish it, but I guess once you started, I guess you have to finish it. And then also what I found really was that all of the black females are really beautiful in the show. Like all of the black females that are, I mean, Anthony Mackie, the other character, then the husband and wife that come to the parties, they're all attractive, but it's like as if none of the males are interested in having sex with them. Or it just, it was really disturbing. And I also thought, I guess the scene that the birthday party, or where the first birthday party, where I thought Anthony Mackie's character was going to have an affair with the other couple, the black lady that came with the husband, but then it totally went a completely different way. So yeah, I did watch because I really liked the show, but now I don't like the show anymore. I did see that some of the other episodes, I think they just follow what the show usually does, but they weren't as good as the other shows. I feel like it was done on purpose. They weren't as entertaining as some of the other episodes, and they didn't, I guess another thing, like the characters in some of the other episodes that are really good, there's like a flow. It's like it's like the situation is always getting worse and worse and worse. For like a nosedive or some of the, like it gets worse and worse. There's like a flow to the show or most of the episodes, but this one is just, oh man, I would recommend that nobody watch this. No one watch this, but I guess if people are curious, they will. Oh, and then another thing, the black male friend, he gets him this thing as a gift, and it's expensive. So it's like, and I think Anthony Mackie's like, oh, I don't have like the console or whatever. And then he's like, oh no, I got that for you too. Like, it's like this guy that has all these black women available to him is giving out gifts to the black male so that he can have sex with them. Oh man. Okay. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Much obliged, the black African. That is important. It is an expensive game, apparently, and he did get him all of the components he needed because apparently there were a few game accessories he didn't have, and this friend got all the components for him to play. That's why I said he seemed to be a little more informed about this whole thing. The Anthony Mackie's friend in all of this is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. He was in Black Panther, apparently. He was not in Black Panther. He was in Aquaman, and Watchmen that was on TV. He was in Us, The Handmaid's Tale. Seems like he's in a few others projects, but Aquaman, that seems like a big one. Incidentally, Anthony Mackie, he is also going to be in an upcoming film portraying Johnny Cochran. That is interesting. I think some other folks have noted that sometimes there will seem to be a trade-off of sorts. If you are a black actor in Hollywood, if you're going to play a role of a black person who has a lot of black self-respect, like I think Ving Rhames in Rosewood, since we just talked about that, John Singleton, he's the heroic black male and he gets to help out and all that, they're probably going to have to knock that down. You're going to probably have to play something like this in Striking Vipers, where you are cheating on your black wife with your black male friend or something of that nature. Like, we're not going to allow you to have an abundance of roles where you're just going to be black self-respect every time out. Maybe that's the case, but Anthony Mackie's supposed to be playing John Singleton coming up. How about that? Not related to O.J. Simpson, I will add. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up. Retired firefighter. If you had a question, comment, line should be open. Retired firefighter, did you have a question or are you just listening?
Greetings, Gus. Greetings to everybody. As far as a comment, something like a yoga retreat or, you know, any type of event where there are a significant number of people, where the challenge is to be able to have things like bathrooms, enough bathrooms that would make it comfortable. You know, you wouldn't want to have people to come all the way somewhere to be quite uncomfortable because they have to wait a unreasonable amount of time to either use the bathroom in whatever ways, you know, they need to use the bathroom for. Another concern is food. And I don't know a whole lot about a vegan diet, but I do know that the food by nature itself is perishable. And so therefore you have to have a means to secure it for a period of time, enough for that number of people. So the first thought that I had, I'm just giving the history, Gus. The first thought that I had was the place of residence where I grew up at. because my mom's house and my sister's house are interconnected, the backyards, which certainly it has enough room as far as the outdoor activities. But, and even with, well, I'm not going to say bedrooms automatically, but it may be challenging with bedrooms and also bathrooms. And the whole idea about preserving food in a refrigerator would be challenging. So therefore, I went to Mr. Clark, who has access to a lot of people. He has a lot of people follow him on Facebook. He came up with a person. And I don't know if you, I think my last report with you, Gus, that you haven't yet to be able to get in contact with the person. I don't.
We've spoken via phone,
okay, great.
I've emailed them an itinerary, but it's still similar as you had said. Like, having, do we have enough beds? do we have enough bathrooms? It's similar to some of the concerns that I was saying, or some of the concerns that you also just shared in terms of for that many people, like making sure it's enough bathrooms, making sure it's enough sleeping quarters to have everybody to come that far to make sure that it's comfortable for everyone. And, you know, he himself, make sure it's comfortable. But yeah, making sure that it's large enough to accommodate everyone and what we would need for the time we're there.
Yeah. And so, well, that's, I mean, that's basically where we're at on the, accommodations and, on South Florida. There has been a huge flight of non-white people who are racially classified as black, to leave out of South Florida, primarily because of the, Cuban white people whose primary language is Spanish, but they also speak English. Their presence in South Florida specifically is dominant. I'm sure they would have some combination, but I definitely agree with the reluctance to have something of the nature of combating against the system of racism, white supremacy, and something that direct that they own and control. Movies. I have a similar, I would say, a similar habit, if you will, as far as what I watch, to Mr. Fuller. We have spoken, you know, from time to time, and from what I have listened to him without even, you know, calling him up directly, some of the same movies that he has watched. I have a suspicion that he also watches football. He doesn't say it, but from what he talks about it, he has so many excellent examples on how he uses football as a metaphor. It tells me that he does watch it every now and then. I watch it primarily not from so much of entertainment, but from the scientific standpoint. Why? Because I'm a football coach. That's primarily what I, you know, watch. Some of the movies, the movie with Humphrey Bogart that he talks about all the time. Of course, The Godfather. I watch it also because of the lessons that are easy for me to find in the movies. I'm not a good person to watch a movie with because I stop it, and if it's somebody else that is watching the movie with me, I would like to go through a course of, you know, talking about the subject matter that we are seeing in the movie as though I'm watching football film and scouting and learning from what my opponent is doing. I have the same fashion when I'm watching something that's supposed to be quote unquote designed for entertainment, whatever that means in this context. Yeah, that's basically my, also with documentaries, is in my opinion, much more easier to pick up the lessons. Just recently, what white people have been bragging about, is the, quote unquote lunar landings. And I've been watching some of that now. There's a lot of people who state that that did not happen as far as white people landing on the moon. When it comes down to it, I mean, it really doesn't bother me either way, but I do think they did do it primarily because white people are somewhat adventurous. They do take chances. Why not? As far as I'm concerned, so that's basically what I was interested in sharing. And that's it for right now. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. And thank you for doing the legwork to get us some resources down in the Florida area for the retreat. We'll check in and see what shakes out. We'll update everyone once we get final details for the location nailed down. Make sure I didn't forget that recommendation about the recipe, and folks maybe bringing a recipe or even attempting. I know I would have been nervous and would still be a little bit nervous now, having to cook for even five strangers, much less, you know, like 12 or 13 different strangers. Like, that is awesome. I do think finding, locating a recipe, because like I said, I've bumped into a lot of individuals who eat bad food, who just, you know, admit, I don't eat great food, I don't eat healthy food, and I'm trying to do better, but I don't know how to cook healthier foods. I don't know how to cook vegetables specifically. I don't know a lot of vegan recipes. That's what I hear, those types of things. I hear from lots of people, and they do have vegan cookbooks. They have vegan cookbooks that are written by Black people. I've shared some. Chef Nadira, she cooked for us in Virginia. She has a lot of recipes. She has a book that has recipes, and it's, I wouldn't say it's a cookbook because it has other information in it as well, although it does have recipes in it also. But I mean, yeah, there are lots of resources that you can check to get information, to get recipes, to make it easier. If you are trying to transition to a plant-based diet, and or if you just want to eat better. But that might be a great idea at minimum to bring a recipe. And then if we have any folks that feel up to it, you maybe see if folks have a dish that they would like to prepare and share. Yeah, that would be that we should have time. There is a kitchen that, can make that a part of it too. Cause I do think that's important. I said that was something I wanted to address in workshops. I hear it so frequently. People just saying that they don't know what to prepare. They don't know how to prepare vegetables. It does seem like it is a bit of a learning process, as it is with many things, and switching to kind of cooking, eating in a more healthful manner, as opposed to just the grab whatever, eat whatever, all the crazy foods that, you know, will impair our ability to solve the problem. Let's see. Check to see if we have other folks who have comments, questions, either related to the yoga retreat, Florida, dates again, December 27 to January 1, or the final installment of Black Mirror. Again, this is in no way promoting the series, the program. If you haven't seen it, you don't need to check it out. Reading is more important than watching television. I'm sure you have more important things to do. If you have seen it, this should be our final commentary on the series. I am not watching anymore. It was I can compare this to when I attempted to watch Precious. I said at the time, Cree, she should get a stipend or a reward of some sort because she wrote a counter-racist review on Precious, and I was not able to endure one sitting. I remember it was a friend of mine. She said, let's watch Precious, because we both missed the initial hoopla, so we didn't watch it when everybody else did. We're going to watch the DVD. Say, okay, I'm going to have dinner. Watch Precious. Get my dinner, go sit down, and begin watching. And the anti-blackness, there were so many waves. It was just a typhoon of anti-blackness. And I felt physically ill. I felt like if I continued to consume the content, I was going to be nauseous, literally. Like, I remember I was sitting... I was sitting about 10 yards from the monitor, maybe 8 yards from the monitor, as the anti-blackness consumed me. I like backed away from the screen. I thought that that would help in some manner if I got to increase the distance between myself and the content. I remember I had backed away to the point where I was almost out of the room. And I said, I cannot take it anymore. I think I got to the 45-minute mark, and I was done. I had to abandon. I still not seen all of Precious. I got about to the 45-minute mark, and I was done. I had to leave the room and make sure that it was no longer on my retina. That was the same feeling I had by the time I got to the end of Black Mirror. Like, I think the Black African, he was saying, you started it, you got to finish it. I couldn't even finish it with Precious. Black Mirror, I think if it had been a little bit longer, I maybe would have tapped out. I don't know. I maybe would have finished just because I knew about the series. I had seen all the content before, and we had talked about it on the program. I knew I probably was going to say something, so I maybe would have toughed it out. But why? I mean, I felt walloped by the time we got to the end of Striking Vipers. Violated, injured, wounded. Like, I cannot find enough descriptors. I literally had to get up and physically leave the room, leave the house to aid in recovery. Let's see. Caller from Virginia, who was always also with us for our retreat this past February. Did you have comments, suggestions to offer?
Yes. Greetings, Gus, and all the listeners. I did see that episode of Black Mirror when it first came out, because I'd seen other episodes. And I agree with Black African. I was shocked, disappointed, disturbed, disgusted. It made me think about Mr. Fuller's, you know, prediction however many years ago that the scatter sex would just be made available to Black people. It just seemed so bizarre. It didn't even make sense. And what I really couldn't understand was this notion that, you know, towards the end when they tried to kiss each other to see if they liked each other, you know, this whole notion that they're pushing on people that you have a choice and you can decide to be gay. You know, at the same time, they say you're born gay. I mean, it's just complete and utter confusion how these two men would make it this long in their lives and not realize and have this video game reveal something to themselves. It just did not make any sense. My heart was broken for the wife at the end who, you know, I guess the resolution for her was that she was going to be able to go sleep with some other man, you know, once a month. You know, they had put it on the calendar or however it is that they devised this ridiculous plan to satisfy their sexual needs. You know, so she was going to get to go sleep with some man once a month. That just didn't make sense to me at all either, because I'm wondering, okay, is she in a relationship with that man? Is she going to find another one each month? You know, how is she going to keep that up? I just didn't understand it. And I was very disappointed that Black people were the stars of it. Because I like to watch, you know, content that does have Black people in it, you know. I don't like to always watch white, like Dr. Welsing says, if I do consume television. So I was excited when, you know, there were some Black characters and it seemed like the storyline was going to be around Black people. But then the way that they just messed it up, I was just ridiculous. And I couldn't really imagine, you know, what would this have been like if it had just been all white people? You know, I guess it wouldn't have been as interesting to them, perhaps. So, yeah, I saw it and I was disappointed. And I saw a little bit, you know, of comments from people on Facebook who mentioned it, but people didn't really seem to talk about it. So I think people maybe they just didn't know what to make of it. You know, I don't know. It was disturbing. So that's all I'll say about Black Mirror. For the yoga retreat, I think it would be a great idea if the people who attend in advance, there might be some chefs. Now, is Chef Nadira going to be there in Florida?
That is the plan. I'm going to ring her up once we kind of get a location nailed down to see if she has free time at the end of December.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I think it would be neat because there may be some people in the group, maybe not everybody feels comfortable cooking, but there may be a few people who do feel comfortable and maybe they could sous chef and assist her. I just think it would be a lot for her to do it by herself, because I noticed in Virginia that she and her sister-in-law, they were kind of tag teaming, you know, as I was sitting in the kitchen watching them. So I think that would be helpful for her to have an assistant, you know, to help prepare each meal if she wanted that. You know, that might be available if there were some people who were interested in kind of getting, you know, into the kitchen and helping out, just so that she doesn't have that burden all by herself. That would be my only suggestion for that. But other than that, I'll mute my line.
Great tip. That would be kind of a cool way to pick up, I guess, tips as well, if there are folks who want to learn more about just ways to cook healthier and how to prepare healthier meals, potential substitutes. I know that was something that was talked about when we made, or she made, and the rest of us observed, potato salad made that's vegan, and this is the replacer for the mayonnaise and blah, 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 like that sort of thing. Like, you could ask a lot more questions if there are folks who want to hang out in the kitchen and help out Chef Nadira in Florida. I would not have thought of that. Much obliged for that caller in Virginia. And I could see, if you don't have a, if you don't have an understanding of racism, white supremacy, and or your analysis does not incorporate Area 8 sexual activity and what is correct behavior, what is incorrect behavior, and how are racists using incorrect sexual activity to further strengthen their system, I can see how you would see something like this and not really know what to make of it. I come back, the man not, I would ask anyone, what sort of representation of black manness, black masculinity do we see presented here? Caller in Virginia's comments about the black female as well. This is supposed to be a compromise. This is a win-win. I can take my ring off and go out to the singles bar once a month or whatever, like you said, whatever tacky arrangement that they have worked out. Like, that's going to solve our problems in the system of racism, white supremacy. More tacky sexual arrangements. Contempt for gender. Even the promo, it looks like this episode, Striking Vipers, it looks like this is the kind of flagship episode for season 5. Like, if you see promos and such for Black Mirror, it'll be pictures from this episode. I'll share the one that I'm looking at from Internet Movie Database, IMDb. But it has Anthony Mackie, and his eyes have that kind of glazed over look. We talked about that before, because they use the same image of a black male character from season 3. It was Stripe. His name is Kananga, but they give him that tacky nickname, Stripe. And his eyes were kind of glazed over. And they have him as the main image that you would see associated with season 3. But it's pretty much the same, except this one, half of the image is blue, and you can see his black female wife in the background. The other half of the screen is pink. And so it's got his face in pink and the whole background pretty much in pink. I'll share it, and folks, if they have a thought on that. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with the hand up, I think our caller in the great state of Arizona, if you had commentary, you should be with us.
Am I being heard? I have a headset on. I just want to make sure.
Crystal.
Hello? Okay, cool. I appreciate it. How you guys doing out there? Yeah, like you said, I'm in Arizona. I didn't want to derail the conversation, but I was listening to the compensatory call-in, and you guys were talking about the kid that got his throat slashed, and that's walking distance from where I work, and I work at the post office. So if it's up to you, Gus, I did want to touch on that. You know,
my goodness, absolutely. That is super important. Yes, sir. Peoria, Arizona. That's where that was, right? Peoria. That's what we read it on Saturday, right? Peoria, Arizona.
Yes, sir. You are correct. That's Peoria, Arizona. Okay. So yeah, you guys got the gist of it. Basically, it was a racial attack completely, 100%. You know, it was a Circle K, like, right? I'm on 59th Avenue. The Circle K is on 67th. So the guy, I guess, you know, he slit the kid's throat over rap music, you know, Jordan Dunn all over again. Or Michael Dunn and Jordan Davis all over again. And it's interesting because the people that's representing him, the attorney or whatever, is trying to pass it off as like a mental health issue. But that's, I won't even get into that. But, yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. And I don't know if we have any other callers from Arizona on the line, but anyone who knows Arizona and this area, Peoria, Glendale, North Phoenix, Arizona in general is an extremely racist town. I had a conversation with someone the other day. I told him it goes Mississippi, Georgia, and then Arizona. But, and I just want, I'm a little nervous, sorry. But I did just want to add, you always say it's good to do your local history. And I did do a little bit of local history about Arizona. They did have several sundown towns out here. One of them was Scottsdale, Arizona, which if you go to today, which is still kind of, it still has that sundown feel to it. There's a few other sundown places out here, but I won't really get too much into it because you won't understand unless you kind of know the streets out here and stuff like that. But I won't hold up too much time speaking on that, but I just did want to put that out there because I've been hearing you guys talk about it and I haven't had a chance to really chime in on it.
Wow, much obliged, sir. I did think that was important. I think a retired firefighter mentioned that on the compensatory call in this weekend because I had not heard about it. That case didn't get a lot of attention. Like even I've referenced and looked for other articles. I've shared an article. The Final Call did a great piece talking about white supremacy that I shared this week. A couple days ago with a lot of great information. They used accurate words and everything, but that case didn't get very much attention at all. Like I've heard way more talk about, who R. Kelly allegedly raped and what Donald Trump tweeted as opposed to a white man slashed a black teenager's throat who had two jobs because he had rap music playing. Like that's not front page news everywhere. That's not being talked about. Racism, white supremacy, and connecting that to Trump's tweets, that's not being discussed at all. Or hardly, put it that way. I've heard more talk about the frickin' ice cream liquor than this young teenager, 17 years old, getting killed in Arizona. Much obliged for the... Yes, sir. No need to be nervous, victims of racism. But thank you. That is important. Thank you for reminding us of why there are many more important things than the travesty that is Black Mirror.
Yeah, could I just add one more thing? Sorry about that.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to add that, like I said, I work at the post office, and it's like you would never even know that someone got killed, murdered directly down the street. A lot of the carriers, they gas up at that same gas station, or some of the people that work at the post office, they get, snacks and stuff from that gas station. I was speaking with one of my coworkers today. She said that she goes to that gas station pretty often. And recently when she went there, there's now a armed officer there. So I guess that's a good thing. Unfortunately, that had to happen. But the sentiment inside the office is as if you would never even think it happened down the street. Like, I've asked people, like, hey, did you hear about so-and-so, so-and-so? Oh, no. Arizona's predominantly white. So, of course, the post office is, too. It's like six black people, period. Oh, no, I haven't heard of it. Oh, no. Oh, that's so terrible. The fake sentiments. So, yeah, I just thought that was interesting. Mute my line.
That is where now in Seattle, they named the county after Dr. King. In Arizona, John McCain and the like fought to keep from having Dr. King as getting a recognized holiday, fought viciously about that for years. So absolutely much to be said about the state of Arizona, Phoenix and all. Let's see. Other folks, if you have comments, questions, suggestions, either for the yoga retreat and or Black Mirror, feel free. The number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I would, I guess, ask if that makes sense, the comment that this was one of the friends who was at the party towards the end, who said that our kids look like a mile of bad road, at least in my view. That seems to fit the narrative of not just anti-blackness, but the man knot, and just what type of father, what type of parent, period, but what type of father would say that about their children? You are not a man. You're not even interested in being a parent. That's why I said, like, that's my focus about Anthony Mackie as a father in this. The child, his son, interrupts him when he's on the game with his black male lover. He is asked repeatedly, come and perform sexual intercourse so that we can have a second child, raise our family. We're married. I don't want to do that. I want to go play video games and engage in homosexual activity with my black male lover. And then we get to the end. It's not Anthony Mackie, but it's another black father. He says, not we have beautiful children, wonderful family. He says, wow, our children look like a mile of bad road. All of that, at least in my view, all of that, the entire episode seems to be a pretty spectacular indictment of black fatherhood, which, you know, that's par for the course in the system of racism, white supremacy. Am I being nutty? Does that make sense or no?
I guess I'll comment. Yeah, no, I think that's an accurate assessment. It's an accurate assessment. And I think that's the whole show. The reason why I was saying that I thought that the show had sort of like tricked me or gotten me is because after, I guess, listening to your program, Mr. Fuller, Dr. Curry, all these people, it seemed like as if I should have like known and had my guard up. But I feel like even if you sort of, I guess, have your guard up, you wouldn't be prepared for this. But yeah, that's an accurate assessment. Thank you.
Much obliged. I don't know if one could have been expecting all of that. I guess when Mr. Fuller says you kind of have to be prepared for anything, that encompasses a lot. Like I said, I had been warned the anti-sexual behavior was thick, but even that warning was insufficient for all that was this episode. But yeah, in my view, I think a pretty flagrant indictment of black parenting, black fatherhood especially, at least the mom here, who's played by Nicole Beharie, at least she is attempting. She is trying to hold the family together and parent. Let's have another child. She is trying, but not getting any assistance here at all. Again, no count, shiftless, worthless black males who do not want to be with black females. I think that's important, too, to have another project movie that is reinforcing, pushing that notion that black males are repulsed by, do not want to be involved with black females. And in fact, on the video game, he is sexually engaged with this white woman, even though it's his black male love. It's the double whammy. He's choosing a white woman and a black male over the black female.
Am I being heard, Gus?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. That's what I was going to say about Nicole. I did some research on her. I don't know if she's currently dating, it'll be a cowbell, but I don't know if she's currently dating a white male, but I think it was some soccer player or something that she used to date. So I thought that was interesting that they put her as the lead female actress or whatever, because she used to date a white male, and then how it ended off in the end, she ended up doing something pretty much tacky outside of her marriage. There was something else I was going to say. I guess I'll get back to it if I remember. I don't want to waste time.
Much obliged. Yeah, I was not familiar. I haven't seen Nicole Beharie. I haven't seen her as much. I've seen her in a few other films, but I'm not not an expert on her full body of work. I've seen Anthony Mackie a lot more. I suspect that might be why they have him as the lead person, but I've seen him in many more projects. Let's see. The caller dialed in.
Sorry.
You remembered?
Yeah. I was going to say, I forget what podcast you were listening to, but you were talking about Brooklyn's Finest, and you were saying how that scene where they where all the everybody is playing the game and the cops bust in there and they basically like kill a bunch of black people playing the game. You said how we shouldn't take playing games that serious. And I had just listened to that podcast like right before I had seen this episode, and I was like, that's interesting. Gus was just saying something about like being too caught up in these games and just like not taking it that serious and how non-constructive it is. So I appreciate you putting that into the universe.
Much obliged. I think that gets encouraged. I think Mr. Fuller and Dr. Kamau Kanban have both come to the same conclusion on that one, how the system of white supremacy encourages non-white people, black people, encourages us to be serious about things that are silly and silly about things that are serious. Dr. Kanban has said that as well. Yeah, I think all of that, the video games, anything that is not pertaining to solving the problem should be a much, much smaller priority. That's why I said it stuck out for me even before it got to all of the sexual debauchery. Just the video games, when they're consistently leaving their spouses, like his wife, and some of these Anthony Mackie, is not I'm leaving my girlfriend or something, I'm leaving my wife, the mother of my child, to go play video games. As I said, not man, not women, child, an infant, don't even know what to do with your genitals, certainly not functioning as a father. Let's see, other folks dialed in. I think we had another person who dialed in via Skype line. If you had commentary, line should be open.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Gus. This is Kwame from the Bronx. Unfortunately, I missed Dr. Kevorkian's appearance. But did you guys talk about episode 2 of season 5 of Black Mirror, Smithereens?
Nope. I watched one episode of season 5. And that was Striking Vipers, and that was all I could take. I am not consuming any more of the content, so I have not seen any of the other episodes from season 5. So what happened in Smithereens?
Yeah, Smithereens was, it also featured a black male. Basically, this black male works at this computer company, and he's taken hostage by this white male cab driver. The white male works for this online car service company. It's kind of like Uber. And he has like a lot of frustrations with the with the tech company. The tech company is kind of like Facebook. It's this tech company that this black male works for, and he takes him hostage, and he wants to speak to the president of the company. And basically at the climax was the black male sacrificing his life. Well, that's what they allude to, that the black male sacrificed his life in order to save this white male who took him hostage. And yeah, it was just a mess. It was completely soaked in white supremacy, that episode. And I thought you would talk about that with Dr. Kevorkian, like you guys usually do. You guys usually cover all of the episodes in each season, and they've been really insightful. And I know you said we shouldn't watch TV. You know, reading is more important than watching TV. Dr. Francis Cress Wilson said that a lot. But I think this show, Black Mirror, has really been really helpful with me when it comes to pointing out the racism, white supremacy in it, to pointing out to other black people, other non-white people who are also big fans of the show, to basically, open their eyes and let them see it from a different perspective and hopefully become, more aware of the system of white supremacy.
Bravo. I'm glad to hear it. That's the whole reason, you know, we've had Dr. Kevorkian on a couple times. We had him on last year as well to go over season four. We talked about other programs as well, but that's the reason, you know, the hope. I thought some people might watch that show and might, why I think our caller in Virginia said, might watch that show without proper context, without having an accurate understanding of white supremacy, racism. So it might be more difficult for them to make sense of what they are seeing in these episodes. So I'm glad to hear if the content has been helpful in some way, and being able to share those ideas with other Black people who watch the show. I'm sure a lot of Black people consume this content, so that is awesome. I was saying the reason this time that I didn't want to go through all of the episodes. Number one, I could not stomach another episode after Striking Vipers. I mean, there's white supremacy in everything. So, and we've talked about the racism in the different episodes through the seasons. I have not had an episode that ended where I felt like this at the end. This was, something above and beyond the normal white supremacist offerings in this series. If it had not been so egregious, I may have watched some of the other ones, the Smithereens and some of the other offerings from season five, and then to see if we could get Dr. Kevorkian back on. But wow, that was it was more than I could tolerate. Like yeah, that was, generally speaking, when you have one time, I said this with Lee Daniels, he did the film Shadow Boxer, which is in the same category, Precious as well. Like, you get one time where I feel like I have been violated in watching a film, television show, whatever it is. After that, I'm not watching anymore. So yeah, I couldn't do it. We'll have to pick a different new set of films or what have you for Dr. Kevorkian to return to the broadcast. But Smithereens sounds, you know, if that's what it's going to be, to watch a Black male die to save a white man who has held him hostage and is holding him accountable or to blame for some computer conglomerate that is invariably controlled by whites. Man, that's
amazing. Right.
Wow. That's
and also
go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Also, Gus, did you guys talk about the fact that was it significant to you or Dr. Kevorkian how the non-white, how the characters that they went to the game and became that they were non-white Asians, so-called Asian people?
I talked about that today. I think the female was white. I've looked at her character, the main actress, and she looks white to me. I have heard or I've read.
Really?
Yes, she looks white to me. Now, I could be in error. I guess everybody, if we can all go look. So the person that we're talking about, her name is, the actress is Pom Clementif, P-O-M. That's her first name, Pom Clementif, K-L-E-M-E-N-T-I-E-F-F. That's her name. Now, the image that I'm looking at, this is a blonde-haired, pale-skinned white woman. She is as a French actress. Certainly, there are non-white people who are born in France. So, I mean, that's not a racial classification. But to me, this does not look like a so-called Asian female. This looks like someone who would be classified as white. I have been known to make errors with false positives, counting people that are white who actually are not white. So, you know, this could be one where I have made my consistent error in thinking that she's white and she's not. But to me, in the video, I mean, in the actual show, and seeing a just picture of what this actress looks like, this looks like someone who would be classified as white. I guess, let's see, out of the people who have seen this episode, and or people, if you're at a computer or a TV or whatever, and you can check out Pom, P-O-M, that's her first name, Clementif, K-L-E-M-E-N-T-I-E-F-F. Do people think this is someone who would be classified as white, or do we think this is a non-white person? Let's check out of the people that are available.
She looks non-white to me. She looks like she could have a white parent.
Mm-hmm.
But she definitely looks non-white Asian, so-called Asian to me.
not able to look at it currently through my phone, but I want to comment on the. I want to ask the other caller on the line about the. I wanted to comment about the smithereen comments that he made, if that's okay. Whenever you guys, you know, move on.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
I don't know what his name was, but a caller on the line. How does smithereen episode make you feel? Because when I was watching that episode, it made me feel because I just recently rented Collateral, Changing Lanes, and I have Driving Miss Daisy on my computer. So it reminds me of those movies, Collateral, Changing Lanes, and Driving Miss Daisy. So I just wanted to know, like, what do you guys all think about that as far as... Gus hasn't seen the Smithereens episode, but he's seen those other three movies, so it kind of is in the same realm, you know, a white person kidnapping a black person in a car and taking them on some type of ride or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, my name's Kwame from the Bronx. That's what I go by. And, when I watched Smithereens, it was just like the black male was just so helpless and pitiful and pathetic and weak. It's just like he was just impotent. And the white male, he was in control. He was calling the shots. And like this white male, he would, and it shows the power of white supremacy too. It's like this powerless white male, you know, he was poor. He wasn't poor. He wasn't in the best economic situation compared to the black male. And he was able to coordinate all these efforts, which was really unrealistic. He was able to coordinate all these things and be able to speak to the president of this tech company, all the way in the U.S. while they were in the U.K. And it was really unrealistic, but it really showed the power of white supremacy, how the police officers that surrounded their car didn't want to kill the white male, how, you know, they were trying to keep the... And it was really unrealistic. Like, I was just thinking the whole time watching this, like, in real life, these police officers wouldn't care if it was a black male being held hostage. Like, they would deliver like the final blow. Like they would kill the white male regardless of if the black male's life was in danger. It was just like so unrealistic. Like they were like trying, the police officers were trying to, you know, show how much they cared about this black male hostage's life. And it was just like, it was so unrealistic because we know like white people, they don't care about black life, especially black males. Like, let's be real. And, really made me, yeah, and that was the whole message of that. And at the end, the black male, he felt sorry for the white male, and it just reminded me of Green Mile and all those and all the other films in that genre of like the black male, the magic Negro, the black male saving, feeling sorry for the white male and wanting to save his life because of his pathetic conditions and his emotional state. And you know, it was really trying to brainwash black people to, you know, empathize with white people. And because the white male who kidnapped him, he lost his wife because he was texting, he was responding to a message on the app that the president of the company, that the black male, the company that he worked for, he was responding to a message on that app and he drove into another car and crashed. And and the black male felt sorry hearing about the white male story. And yeah, it was just teaching more programming to teach black males and black people in general to sympathize and empathize with white people and sacrifice your life, even though he was about to be saved and he sacrificed himself in order to save the white man. So sorry for being long-winded, but that was it.
I haven't seen Smithereen, so I can't compare it to the other projects. However, according to Wikipedia, Pom Clementif has a white parent and a non-white parent. It says specifically, she was born in Canada to a Korean mother and a French-Russian father who was working there as a counsel for the French government. That would be direct white supremacy racism, French occupation. I just posted an image so people can see what she looks like. And Yeah, if you think she would be accepted as white or not white.
Yeah, I was just able to pull her up on IMDb, and the first picture I saw, I was like, okay, she looks like one of those, what they call hoppas, which is half white, half Asian. And then as soon as you said half Korean, I just started busting out laughing. I was like, okay, that was pretty accurate. But yeah, a lot of those half white, half Asians can be accepted as white women. How you doing? So yeah, that was my interpretation.
I thought that episode, the second one that we were just discussing, I think that black male ends up being so-called homosexual. I thought that was important because there's like a scene where I guess the white male asks him about his girlfriend. He's like something about his girlfriend, but then the black male pauses, and then the guy says partner. So I thought that was significant. And then I thought, like what the other gentleman was saying from New York, like they could have shot the white man at any moment. They were showing it as if it was like some kind of angle, but it seemed like they could have shot him at any moment, but they just chose not to. Thank you.
That would be significant if the black male is also engaged in so-called homosexual activity in the Smithereens episode, to make that a theme of season 5. And I would say that would, at least to me, that would also suggest quite an increase in direct, like, targeting, just the imaging of black males in the series, because in season 4... the final episode was the one where they had the black male who was on death row under suspicious circumstances, and they had the technology so that everybody could experience his death. You could get your own little trinket, and you could kill him again every time and experience, you know, him getting shocked and dying, all for your personal enjoyment. That was the last one. They had the one where the white woman came in and killed a black male with a hammer. She came in and bashed his skull in and then went to kill his child as well. Like, increased direct targeting, in my view, of black males specifically at the end of season 4. And then you go right into this for season 5. Like, wow, that's Black Mirror. Any other comments folks wanted to share, suggestions or thoughts on this racially ambiguous actress?
If anyone else, I've been talking for a minute, so if anybody else want to come on, that's fine.
Can I be heard?
Oh, sorry.
Retired.
Yes, I would just say that I have read, and as far as in history concerned, in this part of the world that's called the United States, there have been points in times where the system of white supremacy has classified Asians in certain instances as white. For instance, World War II, the quote-unquote Japanese soldiers that represented this part of the world, who was trained in the southern states, they were racially classified as white. I was just watching a documentary not too long ago, whereas one of these Asian soldiers was talking about that. He would say that when he was getting on buses, city buses, he didn't know where to go on the bus, whether he should go in the back where the Negroes was at or in the front. But yes, they emphatically stated that they were racially classified as white during that time that is identified as World War II, while they were in the service. So I wouldn't be surprised that if this person that you guys are talking about is racially classified as white, because they've done it before. They have that designation, and then they would take it away. It depends on whatever would suit the best interest of the system, what racism, white supremacy, on whether or not they would do that. That's my input. Otherwise, because I don't know of anything of those movies that y'all are talking about right now, because I don't watch them. Thank you.
Gus, can I say something?
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say another point. I'm going to listen to the playback of your conversation with Dr. Kevorkian. I'm sure this was a great podcast. I'm sorry that I called in late. Did you guys talk about how the black family, when they were at the barbecue and how the black people were interacting on the show, it kind of reminded me of, like, white people in black states. Like, the way they interacted, they really didn't really interact like black people. Like, the black people that I know and see every day, it's like, I kind of got the feeling like these were, like, black people, like, white characters initially, but they just put black people, like, in the roles. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Dr. Kevorkian, you know what I mean? Wasn't... Sorry to interrupt. Dr. Kevorkian wasn't with us today. I just mentioned he had been with us on previous programs to talk about Black Mirror, two different programs. Today, okay. I just came on to give my thoughts, and I said that I did not even reach out to him to get his thoughts, even though I'm pretty sure I could have emailed him, and if he didn't see it, he would have watched it and shared a thought. I didn't, because I was so traumatized that I did not want to have to watch this episode again to, like, prepare to do a program with him, and then I'd have to get sound clips, and I just, like, I was so repulsed that I just was not willing to endure all of that. So I was willing to come on and speak directly from my one and only viewing. With all of that said, though, I did say that to me, this entire episode seemed like projection. And I remember saying that. And in fact, I said I watched this with Black Mom. We watched it together. We both felt violated. She said, this feels like white people. This feels like white men who are unsatisfied with their white wives and have their homoerotic fantasies about whatever, or Jerry Sandusky fantasies, or Jerry Epstein fantasies, or whatever. And so they have their little deviant sexual escapades, and their wives are going out and doing whatever because they know their husbands are not interested in me. You're not interested in taking care of our children. You're out raping children or whatever else you're doing. I'm going to step out and do my thing, too. She said, I didn't even get the word projection out. And the person I was watching it with, she's not interested in counter-racism at all. This is someone, she's not read Dr. Kevorkian's work. She doesn't study racism, white supremacy. She is a black mom in a system of racism. She said, yeah, this feels totally like white people just taking their story and putting it on black people. Make it seem as though these are our pathologies, exactly. And that's not it at all. So, yeah, I said some of that early on the program. That was my view. The person that I watched it with, that was her view before I even said anything. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, that was the projection. Definitely. That's the word I was looking for. Exactly.
We're being heard.
Yes, sir.
I did want to tell you, Gus, I've been wanting to tell you for a long time about, I don't know if you have seen it. I know you don't watch a lot of entertainment TV. But the Ozarks. Please, you have to watch that, Gus. And it's so interesting because we just did the audio book about the Sundown Towns, and that's all that James Rowan did was talk about the Ozarks in Missouri. And there's so many scenes in there that correlate to the audio book that we was reading. So, you know, season one was a real good episode, and it says a lot as far as the system of racism, white supremacy. Season two was in, but, you know, season one, it gives you the gist of, you know, the summary of where the program is going, basically. So yeah, that one will be a good one to check out, being that we just finished the Sundown Towns and, you know, Ozark, Missouri. So just a suggestion.
Much obliged, sir. I am familiar with the Ozarks. I, for a brief period, checked out some of the content on Netflix, and I think I saw season one of the Ozarks. In fact, I think I even used a sound clip on the program of the scene where the main white character is taught. He's just moving to the town and trying to get his operation set up, and he's talking to the white woman, and she says that she went to Chicago to see Oprah, and she wanted to get some of the free swag, and they had some colored fella on there who was complaining about racism, and I used that as a sound clip recently on the program. But yes, I have seen it. Yeah, pretty much anything like that, I try not to get trapped, because once they, you know, they got to make 5, 6, 12 seasons, it could end up being years of time and energy. And yeah, I'm trying to avoid that. I'm glad to say goodbye. I guess that was one thing I did appreciate about Black Mirror, is that even though they would have a season, it would be like sometimes 3 episodes in a whole season. So, you know, we're not talking 20 episodes. It's not something that you can binge watch. I mean, even if you do binge watch it, you'll be done like in one setting, like, because it's so few episodes. So, but I'm even letting Black Mirror go. Woo. Any other folks, comments, Black Mirror, yoga retreat, brags about how much water you've drank today or how well you've eaten? Grand. We'll assume folks are satisfied. Again, please do not misconstrue this as an advertisement. It is not. If you have not seen Black Mirror, don't worry about it. Racism, white supremacy is in all of the television and film content. So if you haven't seen Black Mirror, whatever it is that you do watch, there's racism, white supremacy there. So you can just be decoding that. If it's even worthy of your time and energy, you can be decoding the content there and, you know, trying to figure out how to apply that and sharing it with other victims. I always think that is important. That's one of the reasons that from time to time I do try to do programs like this. We break down films and or television programs, because I know television is so powerful and people spend so much time watching television. Sometimes that can be a way that you share how the mechanics of white supremacy operate. Just lots of people like Black Mirror. Hey, did you see that madness with striking vipers? What did you think about that? And you can just go from there asking a few questions about a lot of things. Did you think that that actress was classified as white? Let's see. And, you know, just little things like that to take the conversation to try to reveal truth about white supremacy, racism, what it is, how it works. I will share to make sure folks missed when Dr. Kevorkian was with us to discuss the Black Mirror series before. He was here. He's been here a bunch of times, but he's been here twice to discuss Black Mirror specifically. And I think lots of insightful thoughts, comments about lots of the episodes over the first 4 seasons. Maybe I'll think about asking him for season 5. I doubt it, though. It seems like there's to be something more worthwhile. All the things that are happening. Teenager got his throat slit in Arizona. Seems like there should be substantially more important things to discuss. But I will give it a thought or two. If you have suggestions for the yoga retreat, Florida, December 27 to January 1, recipe suggestions, perhaps, if you would like to chip in a hand with aiding in the kitchen, drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. Florida yoga retreat. You can put that at the subject. That would make it easy. Thank you. Thank you. Florida yoga retreat. Looking forward to doing it up. Constructive, healthy way to conclude 2019. Spectacular counter-racist way to begin 2020. With that, we'll be here tomorrow for the book club. Gavin DeBecker, The Gift of Fear. This is our third installment. I have said that right there, another illustration of white supremacy racism. I've said the main thing that whites say they are afraid of, black people. Kidnapped a black male. But that's tomorrow, same time, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Friday for workplace racism. I saw a report. It was a black female. She said she was attacked by a passenger. She was one of the ride shares. She was, I guess, giving him a lift wherever. And he attacked her, called her a nigger and all of this. Please have your workplace violence counter-racist code ready to share for Friday. It is imperative. If you are a black person on a job, you already have to have your code in mind. These are things that I'm looking for. That's why we're reading the book, The Gift of Fear. That's why it was suggested from Cal's listeners. These are things that I'm going to be looking for. If I start seeing these signals, I'm already going to go into my preventive measures, whatever my code is, to keep myself safe. I've said that repeatedly. You have to be the person who is most responsible for making sure you are safe in your work environment. So workplace neutralizing workplace racism on Friday, being serious about workplace violence and making sure that we already have a code. If this happens, if it even looks like things are kind of heading in that direction, this is what to do. I already have that down. If it's say this, if it's make this call, whatever it is, already got it together. If I have a weapon on me, if you got your tactical pen that you know how to use as a weapon, you've practiced, bang, you got it at the weapon, you have it at the ready, or whatever it is. But we will make sure to discuss that on Friday, amongst other topics related to counter racism on the job. Compensatory call-in will be Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll review the past 7 days of activity. With that, much obliged to all the folks who participated. I hope it was worthy of your Wednesday evening. Much obliged to the folks who participated. Black Mirror, always something grand to discuss. I will give a thought about, at minimum, checking in with Dr. Kevorkian to see if he's seen the latest installment. I don't know if he was watching this before we contacted him, but I will see. Maybe he has a thought or three that I can share with listeners. With that, sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Let's preserve our brain computer. Go about solving the problem as soon as possible. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled up every time we are in a vehicle, passenger or driver. Let's do everything we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. In addition to being sober, let's make sure we are not on the cell phone while we are driving. That is an easy one. They like to hand out a lot of expensive tickets, and often that can become justification for stopping molesting non-white motorists. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Kyle signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
No problem. You're a victim.
I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.